The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be. The Pilgrims left Plymouth, England on September 6, 1620. Their destination, the New World. Although filled with uncertainty and peril, it offered both civil and religious liberty. For over 2 months, the 102 passengers braved the harsh elements of a vast storm, with the sea tossing them all back and forth. Finally, with firm purpose and a reliance on divine providence, the cry of land was heard. Arriving in Massachusetts in late November, the pilgrims sought a suitable landing place. On December 11th, just before disembarking at Plymouth Rock, they signed the Mayflower Compact, America's first document of civil government and the first to introduce self-government. After a prayer service, the pilgrims began building hasty shelters. However, unprepared for the starvation and sickness of a harsh New England winter, nearly half died before spring. Yet persevering in prayer and assisted by helpful Indians, they reaped a bountiful harvest the following summer. The grateful pilgrims then declared a 3-day feast, starting on December 13, 1621, to thank God and to celebrate with their Indian friends. While this was not the first Thanksgiving in America, Thanksgiving services were actually held in Virginia as early as 1607. It was America's first Thanksgiving festival. Pilgrim Edward Winslow described the pilgrims' Thanksgiving in these words, and I quote, "Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, which is bird hunting, so that we might, after a special manner, rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They 4 in 1 day killed as much fowl as served the company for almost a week. Many of the Indians came amongst us, and their greatest king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer which they brought. And although it not be always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God we are far from want." End of quote. In 1789, following a proclamation issued by President George Washington, America celebrated its first day of Thanksgiving to God under its new constitution. That same year, the Protestant Episcopal Church, of which President Washington was a member, announced that the first Thursday in November would become its regular day for giving thanks, unless another day be appointed by the civil authorities. Yet despite these early national proclamations, official Thanksgiving observances usually occurred only at the state level. Much of the credit for the adoption of a later annual National Thanksgiving Day may be attributed to Mrs. Sarah Joseph Hale, the editor of Godly Lady's Book. For 30 years, she promoted the idea of a National Thanksgiving Day, contacting president after president until President Abraham Lincoln responded in 1863 by setting aside the last Thursday in November as a National Day of Thanksgiving. Over the next 75 years, presidents followed Lincoln's precedent, annually declaring a National Thanksgiving Day. Then in 1941, Congress permanently established the fourth Thursday of each November as a national holiday. Lincoln's original 1863 Thanksgiving proclamation came, spiritually speaking, at a pivotal point in his life. During the first week of July of that year, the Battle of Gettysburg occurred, resulting in the loss of some 60,000 American lives. 4 months later in November, Lincoln delivered his famous Gettysburg Address. It was while Lincoln was walking among the thousands of graves there at Gettysburg that he committed his life to Christ. As he explained to a friend, and I quote, "When I left Springfield to assume the presidency, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian. When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. When I went to Gettysburg and saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers, I, then and there, consecrated myself to Christ." As Americans celebrate Thanksgiving each year, We hope they would retain the original gratefulness to God displayed by the Pilgrims and many other founding fathers, and remember that it is those early and courageous Pilgrims that we owe the Thanksgiving holiday we celebrate each year. Being thankful is an acknowledgement of what we are, what we have, and what we will be. It has absolutely nothing to do with us and everything to do with our very Creator God, our provider, our protector, the one who died to give us life. Jesus Christ, our very Creator, God Himself, gave us the example of being thankful. Regarding the raising of Lazarus from the grave, we read in John 11, beginning in verse 38 from the New King James. Then Jesus, again groaning in Himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place that the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, and because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had heard all these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Christ acknowledged that he and God the Father were a team working together. He showed us the example that we must follow. In Psalm 50, verse 14, God tells it like it is. And I quote, in Psalm 50, verse 14, "Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." God literally commands us to offer thanksgiving to Him and to call upon Him in the time of trouble. If that isn't clear enough, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Parents who teach their children to be thankful to them will find it a lot easier to thank God as they are converted to Christianity. We should be giving countless silent prayers to God continually throughout the day. We should thank God for the air we breathe, for being able to breathe. We should thank God for the rest we had last night. We should thank God for the food He has given us. Thank God for the health that you have. Tell Him, don't let God forget you are thankful and appreciative. If you have eyesight, thank Him. If you have ears to hear, thank Him. Thank God for the trials and the troubles you have so you can learn lessons from them. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, is David's song of deliverance and thanksgiving to God. Acknowledging what someone has done or what God has done for you is as good as saying, "Thank you." Beginning in verse 1 of 2 Samuel, chapter 22, I read, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song, on the day when the Lord has delivered him from the hands of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, 'The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies.'" You could open up your Bible to verse 3, and as you read it, say to God, "Yes, you are my strength. There is no one else to trust. In you only do I trust. Yes, you are my shield, the horn, stronger than the biggest Texas Longhorn bulls. You protect me from Satan and his fiery darts that he throws my way. You protect me. You protect my very salvation. Thank you, God." This is what we could do in our prayers. Let's continue in verse 5. "When the waves of death surround me, the floodgates of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." In verse 8 we read, "Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness, canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled." Yes, you could remind God and say, "Yes, Heavenly Father, I remember from the book of Isaiah where you have told us how Lucifer tried to take over your throne, but you prevailed. Yes, you will prevail with me too, great God. Thank you." Continuing in verse 14, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered, at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils." In your prayer to God, remind him that you don't know why you were called, but thank him nevertheless. Tell him that your calling is a mystery, but acknowledge that it is a great miracle. We read, as David tells us in verse 17, "He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters." Thank God that he is the only one that can guide us to his truth. Dropping now to verse 29, David said, "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can band a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." You can make David's song of thanksgiving a personal prayer for you. When he says in verse 47, "The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock," talking about Christ. "Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. Yes, it is you who delivers me from my enemies, God. Thank you." This is what you could say. "He delivers me," verse 49, "from my enemies. You also lift up me from those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man." Verse 50, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore." What a wonderful song of praise and thanks to God David sang. God inspired it to be written and recorded for us today. Let's learn from it as we continually tell God how much we appreciate what he has done for us. More on that next time, but I see my time is about up. So let's not forget where we came from and who gave us everything we have. The next time you have the urge to grumble and to complain, take a deep breath and silently thank God for your blessings he has given to you. If you'd like some additional information, I invite you to write in for two booklets, "God Has Feelings Too" and "God's Grand Design." All you have to do to receive these booklets is to call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675 and request those free booklets, "God Has Feelings Too" and "God's Grand Design." If you cannot remember the names of the broadcast offered, just ask for broadcast number 13. Again, this is Bob Hutchinson sitting in for Pete Hornbuckle for The Way It Ought to Be.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and The Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.